Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given to me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. And let us pray. Lord, help us to become masters of ourselves, so that we may become the servants of others. Take our lips and speak through them, our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with your Holy Spirit. Amen. As one reads through the lessons today, especially the one about Jesus' relationship to God, you might wonder what we mean when we talk about God. At least I do. In fact, as I have reflected on what we mean by the word God, I think we have much of it wrong. For instance, many people think about the first story of creation in Genesis when trying to imagine God. This is the creation story where it says that man is created in the image of God. If you think about this subject very carefully, I think you will realize that what we have done in reality is to create God in our image, not the other way around. For instance, we ascribe to God all the characteristics of our humanness. We identify God as a father, as being jealous, as getting angry, as loving, as being impatient, as one who enjoys the aroma of a sacrificed animal burning on the altar, as a great warrior. In relationship to him, we are his children, we are his flock. And there is a reason we do this, and it's very simple. We do it because there is no such thing as God talk. All we have is human talk. So anything we say about God has to be said with the language we humans use. And my friends, that's a very serious limitation. And the Bible recognizes this and in several places puts the issue in perspective. For instance, God is quoted as saying in Isaiah, "My ways are not your ways." John's Gospel says that God is a spirit, and that they who would worship him must do so in spirit and in truth. And then in 1 John we read, no man has ever seen God. Still, the Bible is our resource book for God talk. But always keep in mind that the Bible is not one book, it is many books written over a 1,000-year period, written by different authors in different languages, speaking to different audiences, reflecting different historical times and settings, dealing with different issues, and on and on and on. So when we read in 1 John that no man has ever seen God, we aren't dealing with a contradiction in Genesis where it says that God talks to Adam and Eve. Genesis and the epistle of John are very different. They have different functions. The stories in Genesis are doing what they are supposed to be doing, explaining how things came to be. In fact, Genesis is a book of etymology. It explains all kinds of things. It explains why we have rainbows, why women suffer in childbirth, why we have to work for our food, why we have the sun and the moon and the stars. Religious literature does this kind of thing. The Greek and Roman myths are attempts at explaining our human condition, from what happened to Narcissus to what happened to Oedipus. Stories that try to explain why we are self-absorbed with how we look and why men tend to marry someone like their mother, and they did this long before Freud came along. The Hebrew stories all have a purpose. They are there to teach a lesson. Take, for instance, the days of creation and what happens on each day. On the first day, God creates light. It's not until the fourth day that God creates the sun and the moon and the stars. And there is a very good reason for this. All the surrounding tribes had many gods. And one of the most important, if not the most important, was the sun god. The ancients even named a day of the week after him, and they also threw in Monday for the moon god. And the reason the sun god was so important was because the sun was critical for survival. It provided heat and light. So the sun was personified. It was thought of as a god whom you worshipped. But the Hebrews knew differently. They knew that their god was behind it all. Their god wasn't light, it was their god who created light. And it wasn't the first thing he did in creation. Light was created on the first day, and again the sun, moon, and stars created on the fourth day. The Hebrews knew that you needed the sun and the stars to tell the days and seasons. But the source of light was not the sun god. The source of light was Yahweh, their god. It was always a tough battle for the Hebrews to keep their religious focus because they were surrounded by other tribes with different myths, different traditions. And some of these were rather unseemly. For instance, some practiced child sacrifice. And it is thought by biblical historians that one of the lessons in the story of Abraham planning to sacrifice his son was the Bible's way of having God intervene and saying, no, no, that is not the way to go. And some of the prohibitions and admonitions also had practical intent. In those days, the world needed people because life was labor intensive. So anything that promoted more population was affirmed, and anything that inhibited it was condemned. So a man could have several wives, although Solomon seems to have gone the second mile with 1,000 of them. He probably played golf, too. Homosexuality was prohibited because it inhibited procreation. But guess what? We have the opposite problem. We have too many people on the earth, not too few. And for all our valid concern about stopping pollution, we should be reminded that the major cause of pollution in the world is people. The more you get, the more polluted the earth is going to be. The point is, we have to be careful when we talk about God. And we must always be aware of the fact that God is beyond the words that we use to describe God. The words that we use in reference to God are human projections, because we only have our human vocabulary. So if the greatest human is the king, then God is the king of kings. If the strongest man is the winner in battle, then God is the great warrior, our shield and defender, our mighty fortress, as we want to sing, if you will. But then comes Jesus. And a lot of traditional religious perspective was turned upside down. For instance, our lesson from Acts tells about Paul and Silas being put in prison. They are beaten. They pray. An earthquake knocks down the walls of their prison. They can escape. But they don't. They stay because they know that the jailer will be punished if they get away. In fact, our text says that the jailer was so frightened he was going to kill himself. And they do this because the traditional rule was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But Jesus told his followers to turn the other cheek, to go the second mile. He says, we are to love our enemies. We don't have the vocabulary to describe God, but we do have the teachings of Jesus to show us who the God is who created us and how he wants us to act. We don't know what God looks like, but we have the reality of Jesus the teacher, Jesus the healer, Jesus the redeemer. And we have Jesus' prayer in our gospel lesson. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and my followers know that you sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. As Jesus said, if you know me, you know the Father. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.